This episode sponsored by Ridwell. Doing the right thing shouldn't be so hard, but when it comes to recycling, it often is. Ridwell makes it simple to recycle more from anywhere. With Ridwell, you can recycle plastic bags, snack wrappers, pill bottles, bottle caps, and other items your curbside bin doesn't take. And unlike most recycling programs, Ridwell carefully tracks where your items go and reports back on what actually gets recycled. Getting started is easy. Order a starter kit, fill the bags with hard-to-recycle items, send them back for free, and Ridwell takes care of the rest. Start today at ridwell.com.
The following podcast may contain discussions supported by science that may be considered dangerous to some listeners and conspiracy theorists. Discretion is advised.
The Three Down Greencast is brought to you by Lucky Bastard Distillers, Saskatchewan's premier distillery, and by the Pilot Bowens Brewing Company, brewed in the heart of Regina.
Welcome to the Three Down
Holy
Greencast.
Shit, that was impressive.
I've had time to practice.
to build up the lung strength, Joel.
Yep. You are listening to the internet's only Yes, We're Still Alive podcast. I am Joel Gaston with John Fraser as usual. Yes, we are back from our normal sort of holiday slash January slash early winter break, whatever you want to call it. So we have plenty to get to, as a lot has actually happened since the last time we were here discussing things and stuff.
Which is actually kind of rare, because it seems like our first comeback episode is like, all right, we just hung out and curled together. We should really just talk about something. But you're right. There's actually meat on the bone, which is good, because
lots has happened. Most notably, part of the reason why I have something to talk about is the CFL took 7 years to release their new schedule. So we can get into that a little bit. Sort of more so the structure of the schedule than the actual schedule itself, because it's the schedule. I have no real grand thoughts on, oh, they're playing this team that week. That's going to be real tough. We don't know yet.
Exactly. Like, we don't know. Hasn't even started.
It's like the NFL when they release their schedule release every year, and they talk about who has the toughest schedules. And it's like, well, that's based on last year's records. We know like half of this isn't going to mean anything in a year, so who cares?
Yeah. Well, and again, at least the NFL, some guys stick around. The CFL, it's like, look at the bottom 20 on the roster. It's basically brand new faces every year.
But even then, teams still can change dramatically from year to year. That it
certainly
strength that their sort of toughness of schedule numbers that they like to pull out don't necessarily always matter by the time the season does roll around. So we'll talk about that. The Riders have a new running backs coach, some guy named Andrew Harris. I don't know. Is that noteworthy? Maybe.
I think it might be a big deal. I just hope that he can read the fine print on the playbook.
Yep. And some other news and notes. They finally signed Jake Mayer after trading for him about a month ago. And they also re-signed Jameer Thurman, and Ajoa Joe is headed to the NFL, reportedly, from Three Donations, Justin Dunk, to the Indianapolis Colts.
Like that landing spot for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But yes, as John alluded to, we are back, and it is the post-weekend of the annual, well, I guess semi-annual, biannual.
Should be.
Biannual, but it's just kind of by sort of unfortunate circumstances, it isn't annual or it's just completely random. My trip up to Saskatoon to compete in the Saskatoon Men's Bond Spiel. We don't need to get into how it went. Because it went. We'll say,
we just talk about how it started. Because let's face it, we pulled our poop together and we beat the team that didn't lose another single game on that Thursday night. So kudos to those guys winning the B-side.
We put them over. Let's put it that way.
We do have a weirdly good record at this most years, especially when it's kind of do or die. So
we kind of did the opposite of what we normally do.
Yeah.
Normally it's like, okay, if you don't know the way the term is, like realistically, unless you like have true aspirations to win the whole thing.
Yes.
Basically, you just hope that you can maybe get a game in on Sunday. Yes. I think that's how a lot of people feel about it. And all you really need to do that is win your last game on Saturday to get there.
Yes.
So for the most part, in other years when we played in this, we kind of suck to start, but we tend to get that one win on Saturday, late Saturday afternoon, late Saturday night to get there. This year, we decided to win our first game and then not win again after that. So
yeah, that's fair. But also a big part of that was the way the schedule set up. Like normally there's like a path that we could play three times on Saturday.
Yeah.
Instead, we were done early enough on Friday. We were at teammate/coach's Jay Price's house. He's got a golf sim. And I was so many beers deep, I was almost killing you guys by missing his garage sized golf simulator.
Yes.
That's when I knew it was probably time to go. And I don't think I've done this since college, but there was a, like, I got up out of bed on the Saturday morning, and anybody that's listening that's over probably 20 knows this feeling where you open up the one eye and you go, oh shit, where's the hangover? How bad's it's going to be?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not there. But then yeah. I stand up and go, oh, it is a good thing we got a DD to the game this morning because I am still intoxicated.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't been there in a while. That's for sure.
That was it. It was a time, and it's just nice because, again, you and I only see each other about twice a year, and we have two traditions. And this is my theory as to why we've never won on Sunday. But two of our traditions are we have, like, no photos together. We have one from the stad neck. And we
that was a default team photo. There are two other people also in the photo. So.
Exactly, right? So there's no photos of just the two of us together. So now we've decided we've been friends for so long, we have to keep that running, right? It's like a superstition. And two, we never podcast together. So. No. The reason I say that we're always cursed to lose at the end of this, and I apologize to our teammates who come and go every year and come along for the drunken ride, is you and I would be in a like photo with just like two other guys together, right? Like, so it's like, no, the universe can't let it happen. It's destiny. It's just that's why. Plus, as Skipper Luke pointed out that Saturday night after we were watching our fourth wrestling pay-per-view of the weekend and on about our 40th beer as a group, he's like, listen, we would have had to curl at the CN on the other side of the city at 9 a.m. when it was 40 below. I don't mind losing this one. So I think that's the best way to look at it. Mm-hmm. We avoided playing at a place where I'm sure there's wanted posters up for what I did to their bathroom last year in 40 below on the other side of the city after 3 days of going full send.
Yeah. I mean, you didn't have the stomach flu this time, but so.
No, I didn't.
But, and the only bathroom you destroyed was Pricey's into like more of like a death by a thousand cuts kind of way.
Well, it's funny. None of those were poop.
I know.
I was just like,
it was just going to wear out from how often you had to pee for some reason.
That's right. I had a copious, but like, I was drunk enough on Friday that you hit that point that you're like, you're just deleting beers, but then you're also like, oh, I need water. So that's when, like, finally, after basically having beers with you and Bryce and Luke since like noon, going, okay, I'm just going to start crushing water. So that's why there was like 72 peas.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is with the garage setup is it's a long walk to that bathroom. And I was not, I could barely tee up a ball. So I wasn't taking my shoes off. So there was a, every time I peed, which quickly became like twice a hole. So again, I've told you before.
For the record, we also took an Uber home that night, just in case anyone was wondering about that.
Oh, yeah, 100%. There is no drinking and driving that weekend. We've got DDs, we got Ubers, like, I mean, what did we, like, we were basically gallivanting across the city, and what did it cost us in Ubers? $100, maybe? Like,
I don't know. You fronted all that, so I don't know.
Yeah,
I paid my penance with beer later, so.
I don't want to look at my credit card, so put it that way. One of those. All I know is that I was still able to tap it last night at curling, so.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do it again next year or the year after.
Have you had a drink since then?
No. Not a real one, no.
That's like,
because we generally, we curl here with my team on Monday night. Yeah. We had one spare lined up because, you know, our revolving situation this year.
Yeah.
And our lead for the first time ever had to like miss a game because he got sick. And I messaged Bryce and I was like, you okay if we cancel tonight? And he's like, yeah. So we just did that. It was fine. I didn't feel like searching for more people again. And it was just like, I still don't feel great. I'm good just sitting at home tonight.
You know, when the youngest of our crew.
Well, he also had like real estate meetings that he may have had after runoff too and the whole thing. So he was, yeah.
Fair.
It just made sense.
All I'm saying is clearly.
I think he was complaining more about being sore than hungover still, though.
That's fair. But I think I've just discovered something that for a week of drinking, mid to late 30s is the new 20. Because Bryce, our good friend, lucky bastard Bryce, friend of the program, he's in his mid-20s, and, you know, Monday was dead. Hung all weekend. And our oldest, Jay Price, who's in his early 50s, tried to hang, had to tap out late on Saturday night. Clearly.
I mean, he didn't have to witness what happened, at least.
Oh, no, but we had to recap it for him. Yeah, yeah, it was like reopening that wound when he texts like, hey, do we play tomorrow morning? Ooh. But he did curl his ass off last night, so so we could go redeem ourselves of the Saturday night that shall never be spoken of again.
Sounds good.
I mean, minus the pulled pork and the wrestling, because that was great.
Yes, simply. Yes. Shout out to Lacey for the incredible pulled pork she made, no question.
That's right. She'll never listen to this podcast. But,
but it still needs to be said. It needs to be on the record.
100%.
Whatever the record means these days, but yeah.
Well, Grammy will hear it, and Grammy will know a good pulled pork was made by Lacey for us degenerates.
Absolutely. Lots of degenerates getting ready for the season now as the schedule is up and ready. We will talk into that and a whole bunch more. But as always, John, for the Palabones Brewing Company, what is in the glass this week?
So I looked in my fridge, which is somehow more full. Again, this is class to you and Bryce, somehow more full than before you guys got here. And yet I have two full bags of empties in my garage. So I looked, and you had brought up some cold brew Americano from our friends at the Palabones Brewing Company. And I was going to sip that. And I went, I don't think I can do beer. That's just that kind of visceral, like, nope, not tonight. So I poured myself what I drank the least of on the weekend, that being whiskey. And I've got a Lucky Bastard Distillery Saskatoon Berry Iced Tea ready to take us through the end of the podcast. But yeah, even those are going down pretty slow still. it's Wednesday, and outside of a like two beer curling last night, I haven't touched the stuff. So yeah, there's even some water here in case I don't want that iced tea.
Fair enough for me. Yeah, easing into things, taking it light. I have actually a Guinness Zero in front of me, which in terms of near beer is, I think, by far my favorite.
I've heard that.
It's delicious. It's creamy. I haven't had a real Guinness in a very long time, but from what I remember, it tastes pretty darn close. So that's what we're going with tonight to kind of keep this sort of, I guess, clean streak going for a little bit.
Yeah, it's funny, when I even heard you, like, do the pour of the Guinness, it even, like, sounded like a Guinness pour. Like, I've heard that from several people, that if you do like a dark beer, to try the Guinness Zero. So, yeah, I could have gone with, I got, like, one partake buried in the back of my fridge. But I gotta get back on the wagon here, because I really don't know why, but I just really like whiskey, so.
That's fair enough. Well, it's funny you talk about that in terms of the near beers. At Grey Cup, one of the fine runners of our website, John Hodge, he hasn't quit drinking, but he doesn't drink much anymore. Right. But he has become a bit of a connoisseur of like near beers.
Oh, really?
But he has said it in, but he treats them as very different drinks. So he's like, yes, Guinness Zero is very good. It is too good. He's like, he appreciates that he thinks of it as a completely different category and doesn't want it to taste exactly like the beer he used to drink.
Fascinating.
Which so I'm like, yeah, I'm like, okay, I think I can kind of understand the theory behind this, where it's like, you want to know that you are not drinking.
Yeah, I kind of get it.
So he's like, I'm not really a beer drinker anymore. I don't drink a lot, so I don't want it to taste like the thing I used to drink. I'm like, okay, I get that. I'm like, see, I do still, obviously, as I'm having a real beer in front of me while we're having this conversation, drink. Yes. So when I have a near beer, I like that it tastes like the beer.
Yeah, right? No, 100%. That's why, like, I haven't tried the Guinness Zero. That's why I'm a big fan of Partake. Mm-hmm. Like, Partake, the mouthfeel is the only thing that's different.
Yeah, the Guinness definitely has it, though. There's no question about that.
It's got the mouthfeel.
It does, yeah.
I don't know why that is the only way to describe that, but it also sounds so terrible.
It does.
Transition out of that, Gasson.
What doesn't sound terrible is that the CFL schedule is now out. Breaking news, the Riders and Bombers will play three times, not including the preseason, and two of them will be towards the end of August and the start of September, if that was surprising to you.
Shocker.
Beyond that, I mean, I don't have it open in front of me. We're not going to go through this thing week by week, as we talked about. We're not talking about, like, the ins and outs, the real deep part of the schedule here. we'll kind of cross that as we go through the regular season, if there really is a spot that might hurt them. But I did see on Blue Sky a thing from DT. He kind of had like the aggregate or like the net rest days or some kind of rest formula that, of course, he came up with to determine like how bad or good schedules are. I think there was only the Bombers at the top who had the most rest, and he said that was mostly skewed by a week one bye.
Yes.
And there was a team at the bottom, I forget, I think it was a team out east that had kind of got screwed a little bit, but everyone else in between is like a very small margin of the middle, so it seems like, for the most part, the league did a very good job overall, even though it took 7 years, to get this schedule into a spot where teams are just getting screwed left, right, and center basically every week, especially through the first half of the season before we get to Labor Day, where seemingly everyone is playing on a team on a bye week on short week.
yeah, that was bizarro last year, and it's kind of a universal statement of football though. Like if you look at like us, we watch as much football as you can put in front of us, right? Whether that's CFB, whether that's NFL. Obviously, you know, the knock on the NFL's Thursday night games is they're usually not great. You can chalk that right up to rest. And this is that's a league with 32 teams that doesn't have to dance around with somebody's a bye week and stadium availabilities and stuff like that. That is the show. And it's still that extra little less rest turns into shitty football. And if you look at all the games last year, I didn't go back into any notes or anything like that, but if you look at all the games that were like, oof, that was just a shitty game to watch, like it was sloppy, it wasn't well executed, the common denominator was almost always lack of rest.
Yeah, and like I don't think it's a coincidence that, I mean, it's partially just a product of football that you generally get better as the year goes on, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't think it's generally too shocking that the season... People like to say the season gets going at Labor Day, but it's really the games that start getting better around there because the schedule becomes very consistent. You know you are playing on either six or seven days every week once you get into the Friday, Saturday portion of the schedule.
Well, and I think outside of Thanksgiving weekend, I do have it up in front of me.
Yes, that is the one post that after Labor Day, that is the one game that doesn't fall on a Friday or Saturday.
Yes.
And that's fine. They built that into a great tradition. Keep rolling with it. Absolutely.
Well, as you should. I mean, and that's it. Like, if you've got one oddball game, and I believe, and they actually rematch. See, that's what I don't hate. If you're going to go short rest, go back to back, because both teams are in the same boat.
And it's at the point now where Ottawa and Montreal know this is coming every year, because this has become their thing.
Exactly. Right? And rightfully so. It's a great tradition, and we've said that right here on the pod. So I do like, I mean, naturally, you're going to drop the Thursday games and the Sunday games when the NFL season starts, but there always seem to be outliers here and there as the season got late. But no, just scrolling through in the last, starting after Labor Day, starting after September the 1st, there are no Thursday, Sunday, Monday games, minus again the aforementioned Thanksgiving Classic. And even at that, Ottawa plays Friday night Saskatchewan is at Ottawa that Friday night. They then will play at Montreal the following Monday, so tons of rest time between that. But it does seem like that, you know, we've always had these conversations about player safety, and it mostly seems to be the Argos that screw it up with having him play on like a Wednesday and then a Tuesday, or Tuesday and then a Wednesday, as I get my days mixed up. That's how good shape my brain's still in. But it's good to see. You're going to get quality football. You're getting consistent rest. You're getting players on consistent schedules, and hopefully it leads to less injuries and better ball for the entire season.
Yeah, and I think the theory was strong in terms of the first half of the year, the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday game, one a day, give everyone the window, all that stuff. But I think ultimately, the four-day stretch of four games in a row, number one, I think it's a lot to ask of people to give themselves up essentially basically four nights in a row, since they wanted all these to basically be four night games. And also, on one end, they probably had to pick Thursday or Sunday ultimately, I think, to get rid of, in order to sort of deal with all these other problems in terms of rest and turnaround and playing teams off bye weeks and all that sort of stuff, where, you know, that one extra day makes such a big difference in the scenario. And obviously TSN, because they had Thursday nights for long before they had Sunday, they tried the last couple of years, I assume, pick Thursday night, and that's fine. So I think, you know, dropping a day a week for the most part, there's a few Sunday games scattered throughout, but not too many. And I think it just sort of fixed all these sort of logistical issues a lot. I think that's maybe something they figured out over this experiment of Thursday through Sunday the last couple of years. And so I think that's good. I think that'll work. And I think it'll also help sort of breed consistency through the second half of the season, because it was always kind of last couple of years where they've done that first half schedule so spread out. You get kind of used to that, and then all of a sudden, you know, the Friday, Saturday portion of the schedule hits, and it just feels, everything just kind of compresses, and it feels completely different than what you've been used to for the first half of the year. So it's like, okay, right now we're playing Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Saturday. Then the, you know, the jump to that to Friday, Friday, Saturday.
It seems like just yesterday when I captured my son's first steps or when we recorded his soccer games on VHS tapes. Those moments are gone. But the old home movies and pictures don't need to be. That's why my son created Legacy Box.
That's right, Mom. Over a million families have used Legacy Box to digitally preserve their old home movies and photos.
Simply fill Legacy Box with your old camcorder tapes, film, and photos. They will professionally digitize and send them back on DVDs, thumb drive, or the cloud.
With Mother's Day around the corner, it's the perfect time to get your Legacy Box and save your family's history. After all, few things are as important as protecting your precious memories. Give your mom a Mother's Day present she'll never forget. Take advantage of our Mother's Day sale, which starts now. It's our best deal of the year. Save up to 60% off. Visit legacybox.com/keepsake, and for a limited time, get an incredible 60% off your order. That's legacybox.com/keepsake for 60% off. Legacybox.com/keepsake.
Saturday isn't quite as big and as jarring, and it's not as big of a transition. You're kind of already in the Friday-Saturday mode more to begin with, so it's more consistent for fans to also know, oh, it's this day of the week. It's CFL night. Right.
Well, and I love a good Saturday doubleheader.
Yep.
I think
I love afternoon football. I want more of it at CFL. Yeah.
Well, especially like how many times are you at any kind of gathering and it's just it's on, it's there, it's a discussion point, you know, at work, whatever. Just going through, there are only 4 weeks, and I'm assuming it was done out of necessity, where they go Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, rather than them hammering that basically the entire start of the season. But yeah, the Saturday doubleheader's back. We play games in a country with, you know, approximately 74 time zones. I like it. Like, let's show off the fact that you could have a game in Toronto, then a game in Calgary, play them both at the same night, just leave your TVs glued to it. And you're right. Like, your hardcore fan base is always going to be appointment viewing, but you want more of the guys like us that just want to consume football at all levels and be drawn to it and gravitate towards it. So, and plus, we saw in all the ratings breakdowns that Dunk did that it seemed like those Thursday or Sunday games, one of them was always drawing poorly the longer the season went on. So I think they've done a good job of balancing for TV, for listening to the fans. Like, you even got a Saturday tripleheader in week 14. I'm just scrolling through right there. Like,
I hate the tripleheader. It's too much.
I don't. I like football being on all day. Like, especially that September the 6th, 5th and 6th. That is the last weekend that you don't have to worry about Big Brother down south.
Yeah.
Why not put your product front and center?
I like football all on day when there are options. When you put a single game in a single window and one of them's a blowout, it affects the entire day.
That is true.
But... or a clunker. Like, I don't like the triple header. I think it's too much for the CFL, but that's me.
Right. But, I mean, I also think, in that week, in week 14, you've got Riders, Bombers, Stamps, and Elks.
Like, I get why, that's the post Labor Day one, right? Where it's like, half the teams just played on Monday, so you kind of have to do it, so I get it, but yeah, I would still rather not see it, but whatever.
Yeah, and again, I'm coming from a very different perspective where I work a majority of Saturdays.
I know.
Where I love that background viewing, or a guy that's out running around a lot of Saturdays. So, no, I'm a big fan of the schedule as a whole. Obviously, we'll dive into it a bit more once we know what the hell the Riders are going to look like, and the rest of the league, for that matter, really.
One thing that has changed with the Riders that we know they look like now is they have a new running backs coach.
Yes.
And he's a guy by the name of Andrew Harris. You may have heard of him.
Yeah, once or twice.
Once or twice, yeah. He was apparently a running back in the CFL at one point, and someone who apparently has a bit of a reputation around here, as people have talked about.
just a bit of one. I think the best line, going back to... And now, but to put it in perspective, it was minus 74. No joke, Shield, Saskatchewan, where my chiropractor is, he told me that morning it was minus 39 before wind chill on Monday morning. As Jay Price, our coach slash teammate for the Bonspiel, says, it's so cold here, hell really has frozen over to the announcement of Andrew Harris coming to Ryderville. And I'm like, if I was still on air, I'd steal that from you. So, Pricey, I'm stealing that from you. I think when you read the tea leaves, it's not surprising.
Arash Madani of Sportsnet, we're not going to say how to reported it a year ago, but he sort of speculated that this was possible at the time.
Yeah. He said it was close and the scheduling and commitments and stuff like that didn't work out for Andrew Harris. Now, hypothetical to you on the Andrew Harris side, and I get it. He was close last year. Obviously, he was injured a lot in the tail end of his career, had the headset on. He's come out and said he wants to get into coaching, basically saying, I can go back into sales at any time. And yeah, go follow your dreams.
Who would ever know that? Yeah, right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I tried that twice and ended up back in sales both times. Regardless, what I wonder aloud, though, is like, you decided to double down on AJ Ouellette.
Yeah.
Are you bringing him in just to, like, let's face it, you decided you're not going to release AJ Ouellette after, like, a brutal season last year from what you were paying him. Is this like, okay, we have the guy that kind of knows how this guy ticks, and we can bring him in for relatively cheap to hopefully get AJ Ouellette going. Like, if AJ Ouellette doesn't have a bad season, is Andrew Harris here this year? So,
I mean, maybe it's possible still.
I mean, again, like, him and Corey Mace were they ever teammates off the top of my head?
No, I don't think so.
No, not teammates, but obviously Mace was in Toronto when Harris was in Toronto, and they struck a bond there, and that's
they would know each other, no question.
Right.
I mean, they're Canadians who play football in Canada, like at a pro level. They know each other, right? Like,
yeah, exactly, right? So I hope this gets AJ Ouellette going. I did think it was interesting that Andrew Harris came out and said that, yeah, I want to be a CFL head coach or GM. Like, good for him. That's awesome. Give it a go now. You're joining a great coaching staff. Corey Mace has proven that. He's got a great culture there. I'm genuinely wondering, is there enough bad blood there that maybe there's some boo birds where they introduce him at the home opener?
No.
You don't think so? Just like, or is it just like the tepid golf clap he gets?
Maybe. Like, I don't remember exactly, but I don't think Dwight Anderson got anything when he debuted in 2013. And I mean, he literally, like, basically assaulted Weston Dressler, right? Andrew Harris has played well against the Riders. And the difference also between, you know, sort of other scenarios of, you know, sort of past enemies coming to Saskatchewan is he's a running backs coach. Like, who cares? Like, this isn't a player on the field. You're not going to, you know, no matter what happens this year, whether the Riders play well, whether the Riders play poorly, whether the Riders play middle of the road, you're not going to be thinking about the running backs coach. No one does. It comes down to the head coach and the coordinators, no matter what happens. So he's just a guy in the roster. Even if AJ Ouellette has a bad year, you're probably going to look at the offensive line, or you're going to look at AJ. You're not even going to think about Andrew Harris, quite frankly.
No. So you're bang on. And maybe it's because of my own echo chamber and how much the guys at Piffles hate him, especially Greg. Like, Greg wants, like, has made so many trace amounts jokes. It's like, it's wild. When Greg latches on to something,
yeah,
Greg,
you're saying Greg's hanging on to something for far too long. Oh, I'm surprised.
We love you, Greg. Trust us. But that's it. I guess you are right in nobody's going to put any blame on him, no matter how things go. Or if I hope that AJ Ouellette is revived and he has some success, and maybe Harris is able to step up to that next level in a few years. Who knows? I mean, he's come from a fairly complicated offense. He's been around a lot of offensive-minded guys for his career, so that naturally rubs off.
And he coached a little bit last year in the BC League, didn't he?
He did. Yes. Yeah. The old BCFL. I'm drawing a blank again.
Like, the BC said, wing of the CJFL, whatever the hell it's called. Yep.
Thank you. It's not the BFC. I keep on to say PFC. Okay, you go on to the next point. I got to Google this.
One thing we don't
BCFC.
Have. BCFC. That sounds like a soccer team.
I know, right?
One thing we don't have to Google is that the Riders have signed quarterback Jake Mayer to a 1-year contract extension, I believe, technically still at this point. No surprises here. I think the only thing maybe I thought might have happened is you might have seen a 2-year just in case Trevor Harris does hang it up, so you have him here at camp ready to go in 26 just in case. But I think realistically, even if Harris is retired, there's a pretty good chance if they like what they saw out of Jake Mayer that they'd be able to re-sign him, and they would probably have to renegotiate his contract if there was a chance of him being the starter in 26 regardless. So either way, not a huge deal to something I would have maybe wouldn't have been surprised to see, but overall, when he's a guy who's, you know, coming off the sort of time he did in Calgary, which is up and down and questionable whether he was truly a starting quarterback or not in this league, it's fair to sign a 1-year deal and see kind of where the chips land. And I thought what was the best part of the whole thing was in his, you know, his, he was speaking with the media and at least he said all the right things. It was very, you know, he's coming in here to help Trevor, to be the backup, you know, to play that role. You know, he was still very confident in believing that he can be a starter in this league, which is good. He should have that thought, because if he didn't say that, I'd be very worried about him as a backup quarterback if he didn't think he could be a starting quarterback. But overall, just sort of a scenario where like, okay, yeah, he's, it just feels a little bit better after you hear him sort of say the right things. He appears to have the good and the right mindset coming into this, which not every guy who was a starting quarterback who was forced to be a backup can do that, right? So,
well, I think it's part of it is because this is the easiest path to him being a starter again.
Yeah.
You know, Trevor Harris, according to history, I'm not trying not to curse the guy as I knock on the wooden desk here, and I'm not saying this is going to happen, and I'm not bizarro Fraser cursing. Let's just get all of that out of here. Trevor Harris is going to miss time this year. I mean, history has indicated as
newsflash.
Right.
No, all 9 quarterbacks are probably going to miss at least a game.
Right. And so your easiest way, so you're coming in with a guy you're familiar with in Mark Mueller. You've got a good to great, but not spectacular quarterback in Trevor Harris ahead of you. And a guy that's typically misses time with injury. Right. So I would have liked to see the 2-year deal because I think the worst case scenario right now for the Riders is Harris misses 6-7 games and Mayer goes off. Mayer looks like the guy that ran Bo Levi Mitchell out of town and then either raising his own number or maybe going someplace else that might need a quarterback next year. Hello, Winnipeg, if you read the reports and read the tea leaves with Zach Collaros' contract, right? Like, that's the only reason I would have liked to see a 2-year deal, even if it cost you a bit much. You'd hate to see him come in here, play well, dominate, and then go someplace else where the starting quarterback situation doesn't work out, right? That's about the only knock on it. You're right. He seems to have the right mindset, and it seems like, you know, after trying to grow their own succession plan over the past few years, that it just not worked out. You're probably better off with, you know, a 27-year-old quarterback that's shown some flashes as your next guy.
Well, I think especially in a season where I'm not going to say you're favorites, but you are amongst a group that you can legitimately believe can win the Grey Cup this year, right? Well, or at least compete to get into the Grey Cup.
Well, and then what's the difference too? Yeah. You know, last year when Trevor Harris goes down and you don't have a ton of competent quarterback play, or even the year before, you know, what's the difference there? All of a sudden you got Jake Mayer in here. I think Jake Mayer with this team, you know, even if he plays like he did last year with kind of a woeful Calgary team, the way that this Riders team is built around him, this is a 500 team with Jake Mayer.
I mean, Jake Mayer playing, you know, below average football in a out of date system with what appears to be a very stubborn head coach still won. What are they? They won 4 games last year. They won 6 before that, right?
He was 5-9-1 last year. I only know that because I got it ahead of.
Oh, right. That's right. They got to 5 because they won the last game of the year because it didn't matter for the Riders. So, I mean, and the fact is he's played, I believe, every game the last 2 seasons, maybe missed like 1.
Yeah, except when he was benched for a couple this year.
So out of term, there ain't too many backup quarterbacks in the league that have won like 11 games the last 2 seasons.
No, 100%. And there's not too many quarterbacks in this league that legitimately pushed prime Bo Levi Mitchell out of a job.
Yeah, I mean, we can question whether Dave had the correct thoughts on that, but regardless, he did it. So it's again, it's worth the flyer. I don't think any of us are sitting here expecting Jake Mayer to, you know, 100% resurrect his career and go on to be a great starting quarterback in this league, but it's not statistically impossible. It's also, I would say, likely in the range that he either continues on as he is, a sort of just below average to mid quarterback to maybe kind of good, and you can get away with it for a year or two after Trevor Harris if you need to.
Unless he is traded to Toronto, never plays, and then is traded to Winnipeg after Zach Collaros goes down. Then we all know he wins like three MOPs no matter how good he is.
Nah, I don't. He doesn't have a relationship with Ryan Dinwiddie, so he's probably that's probably not going to happen. Ryan Dinwiddie only likes keeping around quarterbacks that he's like worked with.
that's also fair.
The other big signing over the last couple of weeks, linebacker Jameer Thurman. I don't think there's any surprise there.
Nope.
I can't really imagine a defense for this team right now without him in the middle. I think, you know, had you told me 100% chance that the only other guy I would maybe take over him right now in that spot in terms of like a Corey Mace defense would be if you told me, well, the Riders are actually 100% going to sign Whit McManus out of Toronto, then I'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
I could see making that change, but otherwise, I mean, he's probably not leaving Toronto. So it's like, well, you might as well make sure Jameer Thurman doesn't leave Saskatchewan.
No, and I like getting, and this is something Jeremy O'Day has been pretty good at, is the guys he knows he wants back in the team next year. He's done a really good job of way early getting it locked in, so that's what you know you can build around, right? Because if Jameer Thurman would have left, or if you take this right up until the negotiation window that starts here soon,
yep.
You take him right up to that, and he walks, and all of a sudden you got a giant hole there that's like, oh God, we have to rebuild the whole defense, right? So I do like O'Day's habit of just, all right.
He targets his guys. He gets those done. And then anyone else is basically, okay, it may be nice to have you back, but we'll also be okay if we have to move on kind of thing.
No, 100%, right? Like, and that's the way smart GMs do their business. They build, they get the core guys, especially in a league where everybody's basically on a 1 or 2 year deal. So you're right. I couldn't see this team. Like, this team would be in panic mode without Jameer Thurman. And they got him done early, and that's one less thing for the shopping list come the legal tampering window, or what do they call it? The speaking window, or whatever the hell it is.
I don't remember what they actually call it. We call it the Ed Hervey Memorial tampering window or something. Yeah. Even though Ed Hervey's back in the league now, so I guess it's not Memorial anymore. But
I guess just the Ed Hervey tampering window.
Another thing the Riders may be looking for on the market or perhaps in the draft this year will be another receiver.
Yes.
As news breaking today, as we record this on Wednesday.
About 4 hours ago, actually.
Receiver Ajoa Joe is headed to the NFL. The Riders have confirmed that they've released him to head to the NFL. Three Down Nation's Justin Dunk reporting that he is signing with the Indianapolis Colts, joining a fairly long line of CFL players who have signed with that franchise over the years. And it's an interesting one. It's one that when we hit the offseason, I guess because of his injury, I didn't really think he would be a guy that would be on NFL teams' radars. But then once I saw he was getting workouts, I was like, huh, okay.
Yeah.
And then I thought about it. I was like, yeah, I can see it just because, as we talked about in the past, this guy was only a CFL 7th, 8th rounder, or whatever he was, because of past, you know, sort of in-between-the-ears issues. He has all of the measurables that an NFL team wants out of their receiving core. He has the ability, as we've seen, to make the plays they want them to make. So, you know, playing a full season and putting up big numbers, especially in his rookie year, probably weren't actually necessary for Ajoa Joe to get some NFL interest. It was more, they probably talked to Corey Mace. Some guys talked to Corey Mace and, you know, some of the other coaches on the team and be like, how was he in the room?
Right.
And if the answer was good to fine, he was probably going to get a few workouts. I didn't know if he'd actually get a contract, but he got it, and good for him, which means, you know, at least right now, he seems to be on the sort of the right path again when it comes to being a professional football player.
Well, on as much as you want to see him back in green and white next year, that's what you want to see. You're not a freshman starter at Clemson without having absolute talent.
Yeah.
Like, if you're starting in your freshman year at Clemson University, a powerhouse school in the NCAA, you're probably going to play in the NFL. And again, he had some issues and he seems to have matured and grown up and found himself. And I'm glad that, you know, it's never going to be a what if for this guy, as he, you know, he holds onto his Clemson jersey while, you know, selling cars in whatever dealership there is in Brooks, Alberta. It's great to see getting a chance early, good on the Colts. And to me, this is very much a Corey Mace thing, right? Like, I think that, again, is proving, you know, a good coach turned a guy around is going to get him to the NFL. And, you know, that is going to attract guys to come play in Saskatchewan. And if you're Saskatchewan, you could look at more guys like a Joe that, okay, maybe had some off-field issues. Again, we're not talking his off-field issues aren't
like they're not legal troubles. Like it was between the ears, locker room sort of stuff. Right.
Right. Exactly. Like I believe every guy like that deserves as many shots until his knee blows up.
I mean,
like
that's the kind of guy the CFL exists for.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't exist for guys that, you know, sexual assault or assault or crime or DUIs. It doesn't exist for that. It exists for guys like this that, you know, had way too much too early, couldn't handle it, was a bad guy in the room, figured it out, grew up, and now he's going to be back in the NFL, right? And to me, Indy's a great team to go for him. I will never talk about it in depth on this podcast, but as y'all can tell, I do enjoy my fantasy football. I do enjoy my Sunday NFL Red Zone. And there's nobody really in Indy that's going to block him from getting looks unless they snag somebody in the draft. But even at that, they're not a deep team at receiver. So this is a guy that's got a chance with his talents to, you know, maybe be on the NFL field. I'm sure you're going to see him in the preseason practice roster. Might even see him in the regular season next year. And I hope you do, right? Like, this guy's got his career back on track and still will go down as the greatest seventh-round pick in Saskatchewan Rough Rider history.
This episode sponsored by Marathon Sports. Running shoes online can feel like a guessing game, but Marathon Sports makes it easy to get the right gear without stepping into a store. At MarathonSports.com, you'll find the same trusted brands runners and walkers rely on, including Brooks, Hoka, New Balance, Asics, Saucony, and more. Whether you're training for a race, walking for fitness, or just need everyday comfort, Marathon Sports has the shoes, apparel, and accessories to keep you moving. Their online shop is built for athletes and everyday movers. Easy browsing, detailed product guidance, and fast shipping help you find exactly what you need without the hassle. Because the right gear doesn't just improve your run, it improves how you feel every day. Shop now at MarathonSports.com and get moving.